there's a message in this. So here we go. But let's pray over the message beforehand, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to commune together today. I ask that you, that I decrease so that you may increase, that what is needed to be said is only said, and that listening ears will receive what you have for us today. We thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so God is. And so I took it from Exodus 3 and 14. Where God said to Moses, I am that I am, or I am who I am, okay? So I started going down this list, and I had such a long list. I thought, oh, I have plenty to go with. And then he gave me more and more and more. And a lot of it did not end up on here because he gave so much, because God is so much. Yes. Oh my gosh, like you could start talking about him, but then there's still more to talk about, you know? So it's infinite, okay? Who God is infinite. So I just took a few that he gave to me to talk about tonight. And so one of them is he is the great I am. Yes. John 8 and 58 in the King James Version says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. In the Passion Translation, Jesus said unto them, I give you this eternal truth. I have existed long before Abraham was born, for I am. So that lets you know that God has always been, okay, and always will be. Then Alpha and Omega. And our Revelations 22 and 13 in the King James Version says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Enough said. You know, I mean, what more? He was here before, gonna be here after. There's no one before him, there's no one after him. He is all knowing. So no matter what you think you know nothing compared to God. So God is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6 in the King James Version says, it was basically Thomas was questioning how to know where to go if Jesus was no longer with them. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, here goes Philip in John 14, 8 through 11. And I'm going to summarize this because it is a lot. And I like my interpretation of it. So, so Philip was still concerned after Jesus answered. He was still concerned and wanted Jesus to show them the Father. And Jesus said, and of course, this is my interpretation, you're kidding me, right? You've been with me all this time and you still haven't figured it out. If you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. Everything I've told you is from him. If you can't believe I am in the Father and he is in me, at least believe in the miracles you've seen. Show you the Father. Come on, man. So, and it's so funny that we can see the miracles and we'll still question things, you know? And so that's somewhere we have to be able to get to, is that you believe it regardless. If God said it, it is so. Point blank, period. All right, so God is a comforter. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 3, in the New Living Translation, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Not just some comfort, but all comfort. No matter what you are going through, you may not be able to talk to a friend, you know, mom, dad, whoever, but you can always go to God for comfort. And then I was, you know, reading John 14, 16 through 18, and the King James Version says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Another comforter. So you had a comforter, and God's going to give you another comforter, so you'll never be without, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The comforter is in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So anytime you need God, anytime you need him, he's there. I will come to you, okay? Now, I was looking at some other versions, and they also listed the comforter as your advocate, your friend, your companion, your savior. And of course, this comforter is the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Wraps us and, you know, makes us feel comfortable and know that things are going to be okay. So we also have that God is my God. I don't know about you guys, but he's definitely my God. In Isaiah 41 and 10, in the Common English Bible, says, "Don't fear, because I am with you. Don't be afraid, for I am your God." God is also loving, and God is love, okay? So 1 John 4 and 8 in the King James Version says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." 1 John 4 and 16 in the King James Version says, "God is love." Now, if you didn't get it the first time, repeated it. It's been reiterated. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Romans 5 and 8 in the New Living Translation says, "But God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Now, if that is not love, I don't know what is. Just simply because we don't want to sacrifice anything these days sometimes, you know? And to sacrifice, you know, a life that is just above and beyond love, you know? But how can we, you know, profess to love God, yet we don't love our fellow man? You know, and so if you hate your fellow man, then apparently you hate God, because God is love. And if you have God in you, then you have love. And so I like to say, I love everyone. I just don't like everyone. That's the way I see it. You know, I love, you know, but I don't like some things that they do. You know, or some ways that they treat me. I still love you, but from a distance. So God is unchanging. In Malachi 3 and 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." The weather changes, friends change, you know, lots of things change. You know, they say change is inevitable, but God does not change. And I love that about him, because I know I change. I've changed, you know, from 5 years ago. When I first came here, I would sit on the back, and as soon as it was amen, I was out the door. Look where I am now. change. It's good change, but change nonetheless. God is a friend. James 2 and 23 in the New Living Translation says, "Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. John 15 and 15 in the NIV version says, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So everything that Jesus learned, Jesus gave. And so you know what God is, what he wants from you. You know what he's thinking. You know what's going to make him happy. You know what's going to make him sad. And so in that essence, he is your friend. And I love being a friend of God. God is a supplier of all of my needs. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need, all you need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I know that the Lord has definitely supplied all of my needs and a lot of my wants and desires, you know. And so I've been content with what he's given me, you know, and I welcome the additional blessings that come along with it. But we do have to be okay with our needs being met, because that's what's important. Your needs are what's important. The little extras are a bonus. Love bonuses. All right. So God, for those who are tired, God is a resting place. Matthew 11 and 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I know that there have been times that physically I wasn't weary, but mentally I was. I've even been spiritually weary. And I know a lot of people like to say, well, you know, if you believe in God and you're a Christian, that you're not supposed to get weary. But we are also flesh, and flesh is weak, and we do have to fight against flesh a lot. And so whenever, like I know with me, it does happen where mentally I'm so drained that it's hard to do things, but God, God has, you know, will give me the strength to keep moving and keep pressing. And, you know, when I recognize that I am weary, then that's when I start to seek him. Sometimes I forget that. I forget in that moment that I need to seek God for that rest, that mental rest. And I will be in turmoil for days. And then it's like that light bulb goes off and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm doing this wrong. Let's try this again. And it's amazing how easy it is to come out of it. You know, once it's recognized and once you know how to fight the battle or let God fight the battle, he gives us the tools, then it's so much easier to come out of. And so with that, all of that, I wanted to, oh yeah, I so have this out of order. There we go, I knew it was something else. God is no respecter of person. So Acts 10 and 34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person. So in that essence, we need to remember that it's to those who fear God and do what's right. He is no respecter of person, okay? And so that means that God is inclusive. He's not gonna, you know, charge you or not charge you, but he's not going to be discriminate against you for, you know, your race, your size, your religion, all of that, because God, he doesn't want us to be jealous of someone else's blessing. Because what he has for us is for us. And so there's no purpose of being jealous of someone else's blessing, you know? And so just how he blessed you and you and you, he'll bless me and vice versa, you know? So there is nothing so special about you, and there is nothing so special about me that God is going to put either one of us above someone else. So, and I love that because that keeps me in my lane. So when you get your blessing, I'm going to dance and shout for your blessing. Okay. And when I get my blessing, I want you to dance and shout for my blessing, because when I'm blessed, you're blessed. Okay. So thank you, Jesus. And God is a jealous God. And it says in Exodus 20 and 5 that you shall not bow down to them or worship them, gods or idols, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, I had to look up jealous in the biblical sense, because I know that jealous in the natural is envy, you know, and I'm like, God is not envious of us because he has all. Like, why would he be envious of us? And so I looked it up, and it said fiercely protective or vigilant of one's rights or possessions. Okay, so God is protective of his worship, of his children, those who are worshiping him. He's very protective of that. And it also says demanding faithfulness and exclusive worship. That means you exclusively worship God, your creator, the one who gives you your blessings. Not someone, you know, not some little idol, not people, not gods with a little g, none of those. God wants you to worship him. And so when I read that, I was like, okay, so we can actually be jealous, you know, in a good way. And you don't have to always be jealous in a negative, sinful way. You know, you can be jealous in a good way, meaning that you're fiercely protective of your right, you know? So I thought, wow, learn something new every day. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I really had a learning experience with this. You know, it's the more I thought I knew, there was like so many layers, you know, and I just had to keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And I thought, okay, I'm still not there yet. You know, there's still so many layers that I haven't reached. But God is also the bread of life. John 6 and 35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And so if you think about that, I mean, when you get hungry, you want to eat. And when you get thirsty, you want to drink. But to never hunger, never know thirst, that is amazing, because he fills us up with his blessings, just feel to the top, to where you don't ever, you know, have to want, because God is going to bless you. He's going to continue to bless you as long as you follow his word, follow his truth, and, you know, do what you know that you're supposed to do. So then I started thinking about some things, and today, so I was going to be brave and sing, but that's not happening today, because my allergies are really bad. And so you can probably hear it, like I'm really straining here trying to talk. But I did have some songs that if you can't remember the scriptures, there's always a song that's going to tell you who God is. Okay, so I just did a few songs, and I didn't like write the whole song down, but just the little portion that tells you who God is. And I also wrote like who sang the song. so that, except for one, oops, so that in case you, you know, had the option to go and, you know, check it out. So one of them is Because of Who You Are, and I like the version by Martha Munizzi. And in it, she says, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nisi, Lord, you reign in victory. So we know that God is victorious, okay? Jehovah Shalom, Prince of Peace. So you have the provider, you have the God who is victorious, you have the God who is the Prince of Peace. I mean, how much more can you want? Well, I'm gonna tell you how much more you can want. I like Waymaker by Paul McClure. He says that God is a waymaker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, and light in the darkness. That is who God is. Okay, so like I said, you can't stop telling about who God is, because there is just so much to God. Faithful by Hezekiah Walker says that faithful is our God. Holy is our God. And Jesus is our God. Okay? Good Father by Chris Tomlin. This one, I don't know why, but I couldn't listen to this one today because I probably couldn't have made it in. It's just something about this song that makes me cry every single time. See, I'm getting emotional now. To know how good God is to us. It says that you're a good Father. It's who you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You know, and so that hits me every single time. I am not forgotten. Yeah, I totally forgot to put the name. You know what? I forgot to put the name, but I know who it is. It's by Israel Houghton. He says that God, he's the father to the fatherless, friend to the friendless, and hope for the hopeless. And the last song is My God Is Still the Same by Sanctus Real. And says, when did he break his promise? When did his kindness fail? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. When did he lose his power? When did his mercy change? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. Not once did he ever stop moving. Not once has he ever let go. Not once did he ever stop proving our God is in control. And I hope that this blessed you as much as it blessed me.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.